Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Ayin Beis. I'm saying the shiur today, Le'ili Nishmas, my holy mother, Chana Bas Meir Avram, whose yahrzeit is today, Zayin Tammuz, Mitz Hashem. All the Nishmas we learn for should have a wonderful aliyah from all the Torah learning that is done. All the shiurim that I give are really in her merit, in my father, all of Hashem's merit. And Be'ezus Hashem, I should be successful and be Marbit's Torah, should be clear and hopefully understandable to everybody, and Mitz Hashem enjoyable. So we begin, Ayin Beis Omid Aleph, about 7 lines from the top with the words, Paroches Esrim V'Yabor. We learned in yesterday's Braisa that there were different numbers of components of the various articles that were woven together, and we said that the Paroches was comprised of 24 threads or strands that were all intertwined together, and we had mentioned yesterday that this was 4 different types of items. There was the Tcheles, the Agamon, Talash, Shani, Vishesh, and they were all interwoven together. 6 individual strands of each type, and all 4 together is 4 times 6 is 24. So the Gemara tells us that now, that the Parochas had Esri Abor, Arbor, Deshisa, Shisa. It was these 4 different types, and each of them had 6 strands or threads within them, so it's each of them is intertwined 6, and then all the 4 groups of 6 are intertwined together. And the Gemara says, Lo Dina, Lo Dayana. There's no doubt about it. Rashi says, "Ein sofek ve'irur badovar." This is an absolute clear fact. Nobody argues it. Then the Braisa said, "The choshen, the ephod, these garments of the Kohen Gadol, they were intertwined with esrim ushmona. They had 28 threads intertwined all together." Now, where do you get the 28 from? Minolon. How do we know this? The Chassid, because the pasuk says, "V'yosisa choshen mishpat maase choshev kemaase ephod tasenu." Both the choshen and the mishpat. And the ephod had to have the same structure in making them. And they had in them Zohov, Techeles, Argoman, the Talashani, Vishesh. And it was Marshzar. It was all intertwined together. Now, this 4 components plus the gold. So it's Arba, the Shisa, Shisa. So there were the 4 components, not including the gold, the Techeles, the Argoman, the Talashani, and the Sheish. So they were all intertwined together. Each of them had 6 threads, and there's 4 of them, so that's 24. And then Arba and the Shisa, Shisa is Esrim V'Arba, that's 24. And Zohav is Arba. And the additional gold threads that were interwoven with them were only 4. Zohav Arba, and therefore 4 plus 24, Esrim Tamnaya. So you have 28 altogether. Where it says, why is the gold only 4? Ve'ema Zohav Nami Shisha. Wouldn't it make sense that the gold should also be 6, not 4? So where it says, no, it's based upon the Pesukim. Omer Ravacha Bar Yaakov, the first teretz that we give is on the cross. The Pasuk tells us, the Kitzetz Pesilim. The full pasuk is Vayiraku es pachei hazov, Kitzetz Pesilim. You take the zohav and you cut it up. Kitzetz the Pesilim, which we'll see is plural, and then you add a little bit. Lasos besocha treles, besocha argomon, besocha tolas hashani, and ubesocha sheish. So you have to add a little bit of zohav into each of these 4 components. Masi choshev, a very thoughtful process. Now, the pasuk tells us the kitzetz psilim, you have to cut up the psilim. Psilim is plural. Psil is 1, psilim is 2, and miut rab mishtaim, so therefore it's 2. And you have to cut it to 2 in half, so therefore hare karabah, that's what you get 4. That's teretz number 1, Ravacha bar Yaakov. Teretz number 2, Rav Ashi Amar, Yidarshan the pasuk in the following way, this same pasuk that we just read, it says, lasos besocha tcheles ubesocha argomon. You have to intertwine the gold into each of the 4 component parts. The tcheles, the argomon, the Tola Shani, and the Sheish. So therefore, Hechi Navid, how are you supposed to intertwine the gold into all of them? Are you going to say, Navid Arbo, the Trey, are you going to take each of the 4 sets, and you can put in 2 pieces of gold, or 2 strands of gold into each one, so then, Havali Timnaya, then you can have 8 altogether, not 6. Now, Navid Trey, the Trey, the Trey, the Chad, so we'll take 2 of them, we'll put in 2 gold strands, and we'll take 2 of them and only put 1 gold strand, so therefore you get a total of 6, but that can't be, because the pasuk says, v'yosisa, that you have to go and make it, and that means, shiu kol asiyosa of shavos, all of them have to be the same, so whatever gold you're putting into the trailers, you have to put into the argoman, you have to put into the lashani, you have to put into the sheish, so they all have to be the same, so if you do them all 2, you're going to have 8, if you do some of them 2, some of them 1, then you're going to get 6, but that's not all of them the same, so therefore, ergo, the only way to do it is to have all of them have 1, and that's why there's only 4 strands of gold, and you add the 4 to each of the 4 components, and each one now will have 1 additional strand of gold, and that's why it's 24 plus 4 is 28. Amar Rachva, Amar Yehuda. Rachva tells us the name of Yehuda. Hamikoreya Big De Kahuna Loke. If you go and tear intentionally the Big De Kahuna, you're going to get Malkus. You're over a lav. What's the lav? Because the pasuk says Shenema Lo Yikoreya. The whole pasuk says Vaya Fi Rosho Visacho Sofa Yelafiv Sofiv Masse Orek Kefi Sachra Yelo Lo Yikoreya. Do not go and rip the begadim. You have to make a hem around it, but don't rip the begadim. Maskev Lo Rachav Bar Yaakov. Rachav Bar Yaakov answers on Rachva, and he says maybe the pasuk is telling us Vidil Mahalchi Kamar. This is what the pasuk means. Hachi Kamar Rachmana. Navid lay sofa, you have to make a hem around it in order that it doesn't tear. Ki hechi de lo nikra. The pasuk when it tells us shelo lo yikareya is she lo yikareya. Do this so it will not tear. But lav dafka, it is an issa to have it tear. So he answers, Rafa answers, miksiv shelo yikareya. Did it say in order that it not tear? It doesn't say that. It says lo yikareya, do not tear it. And therefore there's a separate issa to go and tear it. Similarly, now some are goris ve Amar Rabbi Elazar, others are not goris. Mesor Shas says not to be goris, but certainly it's similar. Amar Rabbi Elazar, he says a very similar din. Hameziach choshe be'alu eifod. We know that the choshe and the eifod are supposed to be attached to each other. A person has to go and take the those two garments of the Kohen Gadol and make sure that they're attached firmly to each other. So if somebody loosens them or undoes them, hameziach choshe be'alu eifod. If you undo the choshen from the eifod. Or likewise, the Hameser Bade Aron from the Aron. If you take out the Bade Aron from the Aron, so in both of these situations as well, Loka, a person's doing an Avera, a Losase, and he gets Malkus. What's it based upon? Shemar. Because the Psukim in the Torah tells us, in regards to the Choshen, it says, V'yukus was Choshen mitabosov, El Tabas Weifod, Bifsil Tcheles, you have to tie them together, Leos Cheshem Weifod, below Yizach HaChoshem, Yahweh Weifod. You have to make sure that the Choshen doesn't come detached from the Weifod. In regards to the Aron, it says, B'tabos Aron Yuabadim, the Badim, the poles have to be in the rings of the Aron, Lo Yasur Mimenu, do not take them away. So we have the words, Lo Yizach by the Choshen, by the words, lo yosuru, by the badim. And if you do this, you're over a lav. If you do this intentionally, that you either detach the choshen from the eifod or the poles from the aron, so then you're over a lav. That's what Rabbi Elazar tells us. Similarly, maskev lo ravach b'yakov. He asked before, he asked the same thing again. Maybe it's one is a preventative measure. Don't do this. V'dilma, now the gears that we have is ki ka'ama rachmana, because when the Torah says this, chad kinhu v'yavdinu shapir. It means that you're supposed to keep it tight in order that it shouldn't come out. So maybe that Torah is giving us good advice. Go and tighten it so it shouldn't come out, both for the choshen to the eifod and to the badim to the aron. But kidesh lo yizach lo yisuru. It's just giving us advice. But lav dafket is a lav. And we get the same terrors that we gave before. Miksiv shelo yizach. Miksiv v'shelo yisuru. Does it say in order that it not come out? In order that they shouldn't become detached? No. It says there's a separate iser lo yizach and a separate iser lo yosuru. Similarly, Rav Yosef Rav Chanina Rami, Rav Yosef Rav Chanina said, seems to have a stira. In one place it says, "Kaziv b'tabos haron yu abadim lo yosuru menu." The pasuk that we just read, it says, "Do not remove the poles from the aron." But then it says that they're supposed to be able to be movable. Uksiv vuvo es bado b'tabos. You should be able to place the badim in the rings. So that implies that they're movable. So the two pasukim seem to be a stira. Okay, tzad. How do you accomplish both? So the Gemara says the answer is obvious. Misparkin veinishmotim. It should be able to be movable within the rings, but not able to be taken out of the rings. It was actually made in a somewhat club-like fashion, so that the ends were thicker. They could get into the rings, but it wouldn't easily slip out. So it could be pushed in or out, but you'd have to attempt to do so. But normally it would stay in its place. But it had the ability to move in its place a little bit. There was a little bit of a leeway. So misparkin, they were loose, they could be moved, however, v'nishmat, but they wouldn't be taken out entirely. And Tani Nami Hochi, Brisa supports what this Amora said. So the Brisa says, b'tabos haron yu abadim, that pasuk that we said several times now, that the pole has to be within the badim, which implies, yochol lo yuzazim im komen. It would imply that they can't be moved at all. Aye, the other pasuk is Tamalom. Vuvoyes badav b'tabos. It has to be able to be movable. Now, which one is it? If vuvoyes badav, if you only have the second pasuk, so then yochuyu nichnas v'yotzim. I might have thought that you can actually take it out. So therefore, to accomplish both psukim, that it has to be there at all times, yet it has to be movable, tamaloma, b'tabos haron, you abadim, so you need this other pasuk to tell me that it must be there, ha'ketz, and how do you do both? Misparkim lo nishbatim. So again, the Braisa says exactly what Yosef Rav Chanina and what the Gemara answered his question, that it is there, it has to be in its place, but it is a little bit of leeway, it's a little bit mobile. but it can't be taken out entirely. The Gemara continues and says, Amma, Rabbi Chama be Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Chama is the son of Rabbi Chanina, says, my disciple, what does the pasuk mean when it says, Atzi Shitim Omdim? It says that the boards of the Mishkan, they should be standing. Atzi Shitim, they're made of certain type of wood, Shitim wood, which is a certain type of cedar wood, so it should be standing, Omdim. So we have several interpretations. So the first one is, Sha'omdim derech gidiloson. This teaches us halacha that the tree grows. There's a bottom of the tree and the top of the tree. So this Atzi Shitim, this type of certain cedar wood, so it has to be, these boards have to be placed in the same way that they grew from the ground. So the bottom part of the tree and the top part of the tree, so when you're cutting off the tree and making these boards, so the bottom part should be the bottom part of the board, should be the bottom part of the tree, and the top part of the board should be the top part of the tree. Shom derek li lason. Has to be placed in the way that it's grown. We have certain halachas like this in regards to the holiday of Sukkot. So, for example, the lulav and esrog have to be taken derek li lason. But it's brought down that the walls, the defanos of the sukkah, do not have to be derech gedil lason. You could make the boards of the sukkah, they could be upside down, so to say. The top of the board could be the bottom of the tree, and the bottom of the board could have been the top of the tree by the walls of the sukkah. It doesn't have to be derech gedil lason. So sometimes yes, sometimes no. So here, specifically telling us, why does it say atzei shitim omdim? To teach us that it must be standing up in the same way that it was on the tree. It has to be as the boards of the Mishkan. Alternatively, Dover Acher, another opinion, Omdim means Shemamidin es Sipuyan. It's able to support the gold plating that was attached to it. The gold plating didn't rest on the floor. It was nailed into this cedar wood. As Rashi tells us in Chumash, he says, the Es HaKroshim Titzapeh Zohov, Rashi in Chumash in Shmos Chavav tells us that the boards had to be plated with gold. The lawyer Oseh, Tas oruch kemidas akerish shiyam dumeilav, and it wasn't as long as the entire board. It was made of little pieces that were then nailed in, and it didn't rest itself on the ground. So it had to be, the boards were supporting the plating. Alternatively, Dover Acher, another explanation of omdim, atzishitim omdim, it means shemo tomar. You might have thought ovat sivron ubatel sikuyan. You might have thought that Nebuch, when the Mishkan is destroyed, the Mishkan was no longer present, so it would lose its purpose, it would lose its place. As Rashi tells us elsewhere, Mishenignas o moed botel lo alamis. I might have thought that there's no purpose of Mishkan. Once we have the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan is no purpose. And therefore, maybe these boards would lose their purpose, ubotel sichuyan, and they would have, basically rotted. They get lost. So the Gemara tells us, no. Atzishitim omdim, tamalomer omdim, teaches us sha'omdim li olam uli olamim. They'll never spoil, they'll never decay. These boards are still present to this very day. More continues and tells us another memra in the name of Rabbi Chama bar Chanina. Before we called him Rabbi Chama be Rabbi Chanina, here for whatever the reason, we call him Rabbi Chama bar Chanina. And we have the Gersa Omar, the Mesor Sashah says it really should be the Omar. In other words, this great Amora said, the Omar, Rabbi Chama bar Chanina, my dechsev, what does the pasuk mean when it says, as a big day hasrod, lisharis bakodesh? These begodim called big day hasrod, Rashi and Chumash tells us that the purpose of these begodim was lechasul sa'oron v'yashulchon ha'menorah. They were used to cover up the various utensils in the Beis HaMikdash when they traveled, because they weren't allowed to be seen, they weren't allowed to be visible, so they had to cover them up. So the Aron was covered up, the Shulchan was covered up, the Menorah was covered up, the Mezbechos were covered up at the time that they traveled. That's Rashi. Others disagree and said this is talking about the various types of begodim of the Kohen Gadol. In any event, the Big Day Srod are used L'shores Bakodesh. What does that mean? We turn to Ayin Beis Omid Beis. And we dash them, certainly according to Rashi, it's a old drush over here, it's homiletic drush, according to the opinion of those that say it's actually talking about the big dekuna, so one could say it's literal. But in any event, the Gemara tells us, il mole big dekuna, if it wasn't for the fact that the Kohanim could wear the big dekuna, as Rashi says, shayadein makrivin hakarbanos, the top Rashi, the Rashi's here are found on the Tosa side, so if it wasn't for the fact that the Kohanim are wearing the big dekuna, which gives them license, permission to go and be makriv the korbanos, which are makaprin al klai Yisrael, which bring a kapara full of klai Yisrael, so then, lo nishtaya misoneh shel Yisrael, sorid upolit. If it wasn't for the fact that we have the korbanos that atone for our sins, then there wouldn't be nishtaya misrael. Now it really means Yisrael. We call it Sonem Shal Yisrael. It's a Lashon Saginor. It's a euphemism. And we don't want to say that Klai Yisrael will be destroyed, but that's what it means. That if it wasn't for the fact that we have the Kohanim with the Big Day Kohuna bringing Karbanos to atone for our sins, so then Rachmon al-Islam, nothing would be left for us. Sorid Upalit. There wouldn't even be any remainder. There would be nothing left over if it wasn't for the Karbanos that the Kohanim bring. And that's the Lashon of Big Day Srod. Alternatively, Rav Shmuel ben Nachman Yomar, he says, this is the drasha. He says, in the Beis Medrash, today Rabbi Shimon Tana, they learned in the Beis Medrash Rabbi Shimon, that this big day suara begodim shegordin oson kivriyoson miklehen umisardin mehem klum. So Rashi explains, and the second Rashi, again, found on the Tosa side, Kishayu chotchin osam begardin shalhem, when they would go cut them off from the weaving, from the loom that they were being made on, miktoch clay arigosam, from the loom that they were being made on, hayosin kivriyosam chalulin kiderech levishosam. They made certain holes in them at the start, they didn't cut them afterwards. And not like other types of garments that they had to go and fix them up sewing afterwards. These were done at the beginning that way. However, they left a little bit left over that wasn't woven. And that's the means, the little bit that was left over, a little bit they left over that would have to be used with a needle and thread. So Moshe says, "Mahi, what was left over? Rishloka Shemar, Elu Masi Machat. This was a little bit of sewing that had to be done afterwards." More questions is and says, "Wait a second, Mesa, you're not allowed to do any sewing." It says, "Big De Kuna, Ein Osin Osan Masi Machat. You're not allowed to sew the Big De Kuna. Elu Masi Oreg. It must be woven." Shenemar, Pesuk says, "Masi Oreg." So what are you telling me? There was a little bit of sewn or using the Machat. That doesn't seem to follow the words of the Pesukim. So Amar Abaye answers for Rishlokish and he says, "Lo Nitzucho Elu Lebeis Yad Shelhem." It's referring here to the sleeve, which was woven separately. So they wove the garment, and then they wove the sleeve. Kedetanya, as the Braisa teaches us, Beis Yad Shel Bigdei Kohuna Nereges Befnei Atzma. They wove the garment, and they wove the sleeve separately. And then they had to attach the sleeve to the garment. V'nid Bekes Ima Beged with Amasei Machat. They sewed it together afterwards. Omagaz and Pisa Sayad. And by the way, the sleeve went all the way down to the Pisa Sayad, which means the palm of the Kohen's hand. So they attached the sleeve, which was woven, to the garment that was woven via a machat. Then the Gemara tells us, Amar Achva, Amar Rav Yehuda, another statement the Rachva made in the name of Yehuda, Shalosh Aronos Asu Betzalel. There were three Arons in the Aron Kodesh. The Aron Kodesh was comprised of boxes of wood, which were gold-plated. So you had three Aronos. Emsoi Shal Eitz, to show the middle box, was made out of cedar wood, that was made out of eitz. And it was 9 tvachim in height. Again, they're all with level at the very top, so they each were inside another box. So therefore, the bottom box or the bottom layer is going to take up a certain amount of space. That's why each box is a little bit smaller than the other box around it, like you have any boxes within other boxes. So in Tzai Shal Eitz, Tisha, the middle one was 9. Pinimi Shal Zov Shmona, it was only 8 because it was resting on the other boxes. And the outer one, Chitzon, is Asara. But it also had umashu, and also a little bit more, which we'll explain in a moment. So you have these three boxes, one with 8 height, one with 9 height, one with 10 height. They were flush at the top, and they were boxes contained within boxes, which we'll darshan in a moment why that was done. Eidig Mordechai says, wait a second, Vatanya, here you're telling me the chitzon was a sarumashu. Elsewhere we have a brisa that says, it was a chada sarumashu, it was 11 and a little bit, not 10 and a little bit, so it seems to be a stira. So where it says, lo kasha. No, it's not a kasha, because they're each talking about a different aspect. Ha, kiman di omar, yesh b'ovyav tefach. Ha, kiman di omar, ein b'ovyav tefach. They're talking about the bottom part. It didn't have legs to stand on, but how thick was the bottom part? So the opinion that says it was 11, the mashu said the bottom was a tefach. The opinion said it was 10, and the mashu said that the bottom was just thinner and it wasn't a full tefach. My mashu, how much is the extra mashu that everybody adds on? So what was this for? It was for the zer. It was for the, quote, crown or the lip around the top of the aron. Amar Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says, Shlosh zer mehem. There were three times that we used this crown, this lip, around an article. Now, what are these three? He says, Shal Mizbeach, Shal Oron, Shal Shulchan. The Mizbeach, this is talking about the Mizbeach HaPnimi, the Yenim Mizbeach, the Mizbeach HaZov, that was inside the Heichal, the Oron Kodesh, which was, of course, in the Holy of Holies, and the Shulchan, which was inside the Heichal as well. All of them had a zer, all of them had a crown, a lip around the top of that utensil. Now, who is Zochet to them, so to say? This is a Gadita. Shal Mizbeach, the idea of the Mizbeach, which is Kahuna, Zocha Aaron and Tolo. Aaron took this crown, so to say. This is the crown of Kahuna. Rashi explains that this is given to Aaron and to his family. Shal Shulchan, this is wealth. The Shulchan represents Parnasa and wealth. So this is Zocha David and Tolo. This is Malchus. And David HaMelech took this for his family. But the Aron, which represents the Torah, Adai Munachu, anybody can go and take that. If you're a Kohen, you can do kahuna. If you're the son of a melech, so then you can be a melech, if you're in the family of the melech. But a Talmud Chacham, Shal Aron, Adai Munachu, everybody can go and become a Talmud Chacham. It's open to everybody. You don't need a certain lineage to be a Kohen, to be a king. You need a certain lineage. But to be a Talmid Chacham, which, as we'll see in a second, is greater than being a king or a Kohen, so anybody can come and acquire that crown. Shabbat Tomar Pachusu, you say, oh, that's such a big crown, that Kun is better, Malchus is better. No, that's totally incorrect. Talmid Lomar, be Melochim Lochu. With the Torah, a king can become anointed. And if a king can be anointed, certainly it's even greater than a king, it's greater than a Kohen as well. So certainly the Keser Kahuna, the crown of Kahuna, is great. Certainly the Keser of Malchus is great. However, the Keser Torah is greater than all of them. This is outlined in Pirkei Avos as well. So another statement of Rabbi Yochanan said, it seems to be a contradiction. Ksiv Zor, the Pasuk is spelled without a Yud, and it would be pronounced Zor. But when we say it, the Karinon, we pronounce it Zer. So which one is it, Zor or Zer? So he darshins homiletically as follows. Zocha, if a person is truly deserving of the Torah, he learns Lishma, as Rashi says, and he wants to do it Lumod Lassos. He's doing it in order to learn. To do, that's the right way. Then it's going to be a crown for you. Nasis lo Zer. However, lo Zocha, if you're not doing things appropriately, so then Zor Hemenu, it's going to be Mishtakach Mimenu. It's going to be forgotten from you. It's going to be lost from you. It's going to be strange from you. Another statement of Yochanan Rami, he said, seems to be another stira. It says in one pasuk, V'sisalacha Aron 8, you, Moshe Rabbeinu, is being told, you go make the Aron Kodesh out of wood. And then it says, Uksiv, Yosu Aron Atzishitim, that Klai Yisrael will go make the Aron Atzishitim. So which one is it, Moshe or Klai Yisrael? So he dashes again homiletically, it'll be very beautifully. Mikana Talmud Chacham, this we learn out from here, that if a Talmud Chacham is truly an Erlecha Talmud Chacham, Shibnei Iro Mitzuvin, Lasos Lo Melachto, that well, Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded to make the Aron, eventually everybody made it for him. If you're a great Talmid Chacham like Moshe Rabbeinu, people will do your work for you. So too over here, in a regular city today, if there's a great Talmid Chacham there, his work will be done for him by the people of the city in recognition of the great cover that they want to give to this Talmid Chacham. Then it says, Mibayis Michutz Tapenu, it says that the Aron, we pointed this out before, had to be plated on the inside and on the outside. It was the three boxes, so the inner box was plated on the inside, the outer box was plated on the outside. Mibayis Michutz Tapenu. What's the drasha behind this? So again, homiletically, Omarova, called Talmid Chacham, Shein Tochel Kibaro, Eino Talmid Chacham. If you're not the same on the inside as the outside, if you're all fluff on the outside, if you're all superficial outside, but inside you're not the same way, so you're not a Talmid Chacham. So then you're a scholar. You know, you may know a lot of stuff, but you're not a Talmid Chacham. A Talmid Chacham has to be inside, the outside have to be identical. He has to be Erlich on the inside, just like he's Erlich on the outside. Now, the Gersa that we have is Omar Abayi, Vitema Rabba Bar Ula, but it really should be the other way around, because when you say Omar, it means that you're coming to argue with the thing before. When you say afterwards, Omar, as opposed to saying before the word Omar, so then it's just another statement. So it more correctly should be Abaye Vitema Rabba Barula Omar. They said that it's such a person who is not inside like outside, Toho is not Kibaro, Nikra Nisav. He's also called a disgusting person. Shenemar, as the Pasuk tells us in Iyov, Af Kinisav Vinaloch Ishosa Kamayim Avla. Such a lousy person, he drinks the water. Now, water is, Rashi says, always compared to Torah. So he drinks this water, but he's a lousy person. He does all sorts of averos, all sorts of avla, and therefore he's not tohu kibaro, and that is disgusting, nisov. Amar Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmeni, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, another Yonason, another statement that we have over here on this subject. Maidasi, what does the pasuk mean when it says Loma zeh mechir biyat kisil liknos chochma velev oyin? So this pasuk from Mishle, what does this pasuk mean? Literally, it means, how come the seal, the fool, he has money? Why does he have money? So he wants to go and buy chachma? He can't do it because the lev oyin, he doesn't have a good heart. So he can try to buy money, buy with his money chachma, but it won't work. So we dash this homiletically. Oy lohem lesoneim shel tamidei chachamim. Woe is to those people that hate tamidei chachamim. Again, this is another lashon sagi nar. This is referred to the tamidei chachamim themselves. Woe is to a talmid chacham she'oski b'torah. Yeah, they learn Torah. They're quote scholars. They have Yerushalayim, but they don't have Yerushalayim. So again, it's not Tochel Kibaro. This is the same thing. You know, when you read Rachmana Lassan, every now and then you've got a quote, a great rabbi who went off the derech and did certain terrible things, molestation or abuse or something like that. So the mistake is to say that a great rabbi, that happened to them. No, he wasn't a great rabbi. That person was not Tochel Kibaro. That person may have been a scholar. He may have looked like a great rabbi. He may have known a lot of information. He may have been able to spit back shas by heart. But such a person is not a great Talmud Chacham. He's not a great rabbi. Because in order to be a great Talmud Chacham, you have to have Tochel Kibaro. By definition, If you are a great Talmud Chacham, it's impossible to do those terrible things. And similarly, Machuz Uryani, Rav Yani said, Chaval, it's terrible. Whoa. Al deles le darta, if a person doesn't have a darta, Rashi tells us, now we're back on the Rashi side, third line from the top on the Rashi side, darta means a chotzer. If a person doesn't have a chotzer, but he builds doors to his chotzer. Vitara, le darta, oh, but he makes a lot of gates. Vitara is a shar. He makes a gate for his chotzer, but he doesn't have a chotzer. In other words, this is like a person who goes and builds the gate, which is the Torah, but he doesn't have the chotzer, which is Yirah Shemayim, Rashi says. Beautiful analogy. Hashar Torah eino el shar. The Torah's purpose is to be an entranceway, lekonis bo leYirah Shemayim, that Yirah Shemayim should be able to come in. Lekach tzor shetachtim leYirah Shemayim. Therefore, before you make the door to the house, you make the house. So before you can learn Torah, you really have to have Yirah Shemayim. Obviously, the two could go hand in hand. One can go and spur the other, but they have to go together. And he said, Rav Yanai, woe is to somebody that all he does is he reads books, right? You had people in La Scola that weren't allowed to go to secular universities. They sit in the Beis Medrash on Shabbos and go through Rav Chaim Briska and go through all sorts of detailed Torah while they're smoking a cigarette on Shabbos. Nebuch, these people are interested in purely the intellectual pursuit of Torah, but without letting it become Yirah Shemayim, without letting it become Tochel Kibaro, so then it's a waste of time, and in fact, it's very dangerous. As Amalhu Ravel or Rabbanan, Ravel would tell the Tamidei Chachamim, he would tell the Rabbanan, he said, I beg you, b'matusa minaychu, I beg you, it's a very strong lashon. We find the Ravel saying this in many places, he would beg the Tamidei Chachamim, lo teresun tarte gehenim, teresun means to be yarshin, don't yarshin twice gehenim. What does this mean? So Rashi explains that if they're spending a lot of time learning Torah in this world, so they're not getting all the pleasures of this world, but if they're not letting it become tohu kabaro, they're not lilmod lassos, they're not putting it into effect, and all they're doing is delaying any pleasure in this world and thinking that they'll get it in the world to come. So if they're not tohu kabaro, so then they're wasting their time in this world, they're not enjoying this world, so they're not inheriting this world, they're getting Gehenim in this world, but they think they're going to get Olam Haba. No, they're going to get Gehenim in the Olam Haba because they're not tohu kabaro. So they're wasting their time in this world, and they're wasting their time in the world to come. They're going to get neither of them. They're inheriting Gehenim twice. Lo teresun tarte Gehenim. Similarly, Amr Shuban Levi, Shuban Levi said a similar idea. My idea said, what does the pasuk mean when it says, "V'zos ha'Torah she'asa Moshe v'nevi Yisrael"? So we say this when we put back the Torah. We take out Hagbah, we're getting ready to put back the Torah. We say, this is the Torah, "V'zos ha'Torah she'asa Moshe." So it uses Loshon "she'asa Moshe." So it's a play on the word "som." He says, if you are zochet to really have the Torah, have tocho kibaro, so then in that situation, you will be deserving zocha. So then it will be an elixir of life for you. It will be a drug of life for you. A sam is a drug. But a person is not tochel kibaro. So it's going to kill you. It's going to end up destroying you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you knew all of this, and yet you acted the way that you did. That's terrible. That's what it means. That will be a medication that will cause your death. Rachmon al-Islam. And this is in accord with what Rava said. V'haynadama Rava, du'uman lo sama d'chaya. The Lohuman law is Sama de Musa, that if somebody knows how to learn and make it become Tohu Kibaro, if a person has it come into his body, it seeps into his body, his Torah is not just an external thing, it goes into his body, it changes him, it makes him to a better person. So that's one who uses his Torah like an Uman, like a professional, like an artisan. But if you don't use it properly, so then Sama de Musa, it's going to never kill such a person. Amar Shmuel bar Nachmeni, he says a similar idea. Rav Yonason Rami, Rav Yonason says the following psukim seem to disagree with each other. It says Pekudi Hashem Yisharim Misam Chilev, says that the orders of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are very, very good. They're very straight. Misam Chilev, they go and make a person very, very happy. And yet it says Uksiv, it says elsewhere, that this is also from Tehillim, it says Imras Hashem Tzrufa, it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's commandments, his words, are going to tzrufa, is like a person who smelts, a person who's a tzarif, is a coppersmith. So he goes and it's going to melt him. So which one is it? Are the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Misam Chilev or are they tzrufa? So the Gemara says, again, same idea. If you're a zocha, if you know how to do it properly, if it comes tocho kibaro, so then it's going to make you very, very happy. Yeah, however, lo zocha, but if you don't do it properly, so then sorapto, it's going to go and melt you. Reish Lakish says similarly, Reish Lakish Amar, Migufe Dekro Nafko. You can see this from the words of the Psukim itself. It says, Pskudi Hashem Yesharim Misam Chelev. So that means, Zocha, if you are deserving of this, Soraftu L'chaim. That's what it means, that you're going to be Imras Hashem Trufa, that it will go and smelt you in a proper way. You'll be molded, you'll be melted into a good life. Tzuravto L'chaim. Tzuravto could be a good thing. A coppersmith goes and smelts stuff so he can make beautiful designs and beautiful utensils. But Lozach, if you don't use it properly, the same hot fire, Tzuravto L'misa, could cause you to die. Finally, Yiras Hashem Torah, Medus Lohad, it says that if a person has Yiras Shemayim, so then if it's pure Yiras Shemayim, it will never go away. It will last forever. Ami Rechanina, Zehalome Torah Bitara. That's a person who learns Torah with purity, with Tahara, so then he will last forever. Now, what does it mean, learning Torah with purity? Mahi? It means that you've married. A person who's married, his Yetzahara is going to be controlled better. It says, Pas Pesala, if a person knows that he could have relations with his wife, so he's not going to be constantly thinking about having relations, certainly with other people, certainly in Isurim sorts of ways, and therefore that's what it means, Halomi Torah Betara. No Seisha, he's married, V'achakach Lomi Torah Betara. Then he can go and learn Torah in a purest way. Then it says, Eidus Hashem Nemona. Another pasuk there, it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Eidus, his commandments are Nemona, are absolutely Nemonos. They're absolutely true and trustworthy. So I'm Rechia Barava. What does this mean? Nemona hi, Lloyd Belom Deo. What does it mean that they're trustworthy and that it's Eidus? So they're guaranteed. It's you have Emuna that they will come and testify on your behalf at 120. And the Olam HaEmes, they're going to say, yeah, this person, he was Tocha Kabaru. He learned Torah properly. Now we go back and we darshan that we said before, Maisei Rokem. We talked about the various types of garments that the Kohanim wore, or the various types of things that were used for the Mishkan. So it said it was a Maisei Rokem. It had to be done with the work of a Rokem, it's an embroiderer. And Maisei Choshev, it had to be done with a Machshav. It had to be done with very well thought out. So what does this mean? Maisei Rokem, Maisei Choshev. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Shirokmim B'makum Shechoshev. That they would have to go and design it beforehand and then have to weave it into that design. Alternatively, Tana Mishmei de Rabbi Nechemi, he explained it as follows. When it says rokem, it means masi machet, it means a needle type of a work, using needle. Lefikoch, parts of echot, when you're sewing onto something that's woven, you can only sew it onto one side. Choshev, that's already maisa orig, that's weaving. When you're weaving, you can weave different layers, so you can have an appearance on one side and a different appearance on the other side. Lefikoch, shnei partsufos, you can have two designs on the two different sides. Now we quote the Mishnah. It said, "Be'elu nishalim borim etomim," that certain people are allowed to go ask the Kohen Gadol while he's wearing the Shmona Begadim. They can ask the Urim Betumim, the sort of Ruach HaKodesh, to go and find out what HaKodesh Baruch Hu wants them to do. The king, for example, the Kohen Gadol would be allowed to be asked by the king, by the head of the army, the Kohen Mashuach, etc. In any event, Kiyosa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said over from Eretz Yisrael, Omar, he said, Begadim Shekohen Gadol Mishamish Ben, the Shmona Begadim the Kohen Gadol wore, so also those were the Mishuach Muhammad, also Mishamish Ben. He also wore the eight Begadim. It wasn't only the Kohen Gadol, also the Kohen Mishuach Muhammad. What is he based on? Says the pasuk says, Shenemar, Uvigda HaKodesh, Asher Li Aaron, the clothing that Aaron wears, Yule Bonav Acharav, that will be for his children after him. So some dash of the word Acharav, meaning even the ones that aren't the Kohen Gadol, the ones that are second in command, the Mashuach Muhammad. Also, Lemisha Ba Begdula Acharav, anybody that has any sort of a Gedula afterwards. As Rashi says over here, Achrov is Kroy Yisera. It was unnecessary to say that. It could have said Labanov. Of course they're coming after him. So, Lemedrash, it's coming to teach us. Call Gedulos Nohagos Bizarro Achrov. All different types of Gedula. Not only Kohen Gadol, but Mashuach Muhammad as well. That's a type of Gedula, and that will apply here too. So therefore, Rav Dimi said that the Kohen Mashuach Muhammad also wore Shmona Begadim. Really, the Gemara says, Moshe Ravada Rava, asked him this, he says, others say it was Amri lo Kedi, mentioned many times Kedi means it was said by somebody else, or it was actually the name of a Talmud Chacham, whose name was Kedi. In other words, somebody asked this question, Yocho Yehei Beno Shel Mashuach Mukhan Misham Ishtachta. I might think that the automatic progression after the Kohen Mashuach Muhammad would pass away, his son would automatically take over afterwards. Kedero Shebnosha Kohen Gadol Misham Ishtachtov, just like the Kohen Gadol son, if he's qualified, automatically takes over. Even if there's a more qualified person, as long as the Kohen Gadol son is qualified, he automatically takes over for his father. So I might have thought that the same thing would apply with the Mashuach Muhammad, that if he has a qualified son, that son becomes a Mashuach Muhammad. We turn to Ayin Gimel Omid Aleph. Talmud Omer, that's not true, because the Pasuk says, Shivas Yomim Yilbosham. After the Kohen Gadol passes away, so it will be given over to his sons. They'll wear them for 7 days. HaKohen Tachtov Mibanav, the one who takes over from his children. Asher Yavo El Ol Moed, only the one that goes into the Ol Moed. So Misha Roy Lavo El Ol Moed, only the one who's able to go into the Ol Moed. In other words, the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur goes into the Ol Moed. So that one is handed over to the children. Now, V'im Isa, if you're telling me that the Mashiach Muhammad also wore 8 begadim, he wore the 8 begadim, so then he should also be able to go into the Ol Moed. So mechze chazi. So then this pasuk would apply to him as well. Ashiyavo el Ol Moed. But we know that the Kohen Gadol did transfer to his child the Kohuna Gadola, but the Mashiach Muhammad did not transfer to his child. Ah, ergo, it must be that he didn't wear the 8 begadim. Gemara says, no, that's incorrect. This is where you have to understand this. The drash over here is, the pasuk is telling us, kol she'ikar mishichos l'olmoed. When it says, asher yavo l'olmoed, it means not that he could go into the olmoed because he's wearing shmona begadim. The Mashiach Muhammad also could go into the olmoed because he's wearing shmona begadim. But it has to be the ikar mishichos. His essence, his purpose, is the kohen gadol to go inside the olmoed, not for the Mashiach Muhammad to go in there. So Yotz says, she'ikar mishichos l'muhammad. The kohen Mashiach Muhammad, while he wore the 8 begadim, his essence, his purpose, was to be the Mashiach Muhammad, to go and lead Klal Yisrael into the battles. As opposed to the kohen gadol, his essence was to lead into the Ol Moed. So therefore, even though the pasuk says Asher Yavo Ol Moed, it's talking about the Iker was to go into the Ol Moed. That's only by the Kohen Gadol. But the Kohen Mashiach Muhammad wasn't Iker to go into the Ol Moed, but nevertheless, he could go into the Ol Moed, and he did wear 8 begadim. So therefore, it's not a kasha to say that the Mashiach Muhammad also wore 8 begadim. Tomorrow we'll continue with questioning this tomorrow, but this is a good break point. Again, I learned today, Lila Nishmas, my holy mother, Chana Bas Meir Avram. Hopefully her neshama, all the shamas we learn for, should get an aliyah from the Torah learning that we did today and in general. Thank you very much for listening.